There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And a phone number, the text line, they are the same digits. 343-0106. 343-0106. And you can also leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. You'll see a microphone icon on the front, like the landing page, whatever, the main page of the thing. You press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. So check that out, please. All right, without further ado, my friend and yours, Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, joining us. Happy early Thanksgiving to you, man.
Happy early Thanksgiving to you, too. Y'all, happy to be here. Yeah, thankful for you.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thankful for you as well. And a lot to talk about. And today's a good time to talk about at the beginning here. You know, we talk about you can pick up Lanyap, you know, in the printed copy, but I am a subscriber. And this is not only are you getting news every day, you're getting intraday news. You're getting updates on stories over at lanyapmobile.com. Mm-hmm. And you know, a story this is getting updated throughout the day. Yeah, this one's got a lot of talk going here from the morning show to Jeff Poore's show to my show to our social media. People are talking about the story of the Cottage Hill teacher here, Cottage Hill Christian Academy teacher, whose video of her giving a spanking and with a child has gone probably viral beyond our area, actually. I know it's completely viral here. I don't know how far it's gone, but it's probably moved out of the greater Mobile Baldwin County area.
It definitely has. I Googled her name before we got on the phone here just to kind of see where we were at, and this thing's been picked up by news stations all across the country. It's making the rounds of Facebook, all different kinds of people posting. It's definitely one that's garnered a lot of attention here and beyond.
Let's talk about how this, so the story unfolds, kind of the, I know it's been talked about a good bit now, but for people that didn't follow the timeline, how did we get to where we are and then what happened today? We'll update, but how did we get here?
Right. So Sunday, the woman's kids filmed the video of the alleged abuse, and then that video got sent to an older brother who doesn't live with the family now. He's grown. That older brother then took the video to the administration of Cottage Hill Christian Academy, and after that they launched an investigation, and it resulted in the afternoon booking of Nicole Sanders, Staples into Metro Jail Wednesday night. That's the timeline that Sheriff Burke laid out for us at the press conference this morning.
Okay, the sheriff had given comment yesterday, but now we've had an official press conference today. So what happened there?
Right. He talked up about, you know, she's bonded out of Metro. That was like an hour and a half after her release last night on a $7,500 bond. Felony child abuse. Her court date is, I think she goes to court on Friday, and then there's another one shortly after. But Sheriff Birch said this morning that he believes that the video captures just one in a series of similar incidents in this family, and he thinks that more charges could be filed as they talk to family members and some more people. Definitely an ongoing investigation.
I mean, did he say there was more information that led them to say that he felt there was more?
From the conversations they've had with some siblings and some other family members, he believes that, you know, that there could be more grounds to press charges.
Okay, so there's more to come, possibly.
Right. Possibly more to come. This incident came about. Birch said that the brothers, there's three boys who live in the house. There's a set of 12-year-old twins and then an 18-year-old. They had apparently talked to their dad, who's not in the picture now, about some of what they were going through some time back, and then Birch said that the dad told the boys that the next time you see it happen, pull out your phone and get a video. And Birch said that's what happened on Sunday.
Okay, that was new to me that's why they were getting the video. People have been asking. So it was one of the siblings that did the videoing, and it was at the prompting of the father.
Right. That's what Birch believes so far.
Okay. You know, also parts of this, of course, being not just suspended, I think, right? You're reporting that she was fired from her job?
That's right. She was placed on leave yesterday afternoon. Cottage Hill put out a brief statement on their Facebook to that effect, and then they quickly pulled that down and then sent out an updated statement later that said after she was booked into Metro, they went ahead and fired her from her job at the elementary school there. And I believe, from what I've read and from what I've seen in some postings, I believe that she had been voted like the teacher of the year.
I think I heard that.
Earlier this year.
Yeah, and somebody's either they were saying this morning on the show, I think, or I did hear that. And the one thing is, you could be, here's the problem. For me to pipe off like an editorialist, I got to get more information before I pipe off, because I mean, somebody could be, they could have been a great teacher, and then this could, I mean, you know, I don't know that one thing has to be directly correlated with the other. I mean, two things could be true.
Right. And then what goes on at home and what goes on at work can be some completely different things. And of course these are all, claims and allegations of abuse. She's innocent until proven guilty by the court.
Well, you don't need the court anymore. You got Facebook. I mean, all the decisions are already made on Facebook. So
some folks went to that school of law and got that take. You know, that's definitely one perspective. But,
yes.
And then it's a point that Birch brought up this morning too. He said that from the looks of things, this had gone way too far. And he said that Birch said that his four children know what a belt feels like, but he thinks that this instance here went way beyond what is appropriate and what's right.
All right. Well, we'll watch this reporting. Like I said, you get updates throughout the day over at LanyapMobile.com, just like this one. And then let's talk about some politics here. We've got familiar names in the mix here, as you write, incumbent state lawmaker Matt Simpson and challenger Daniel Duggar will campaign once again to represent Baldwin County's fast-growing Eastern Shore in the Alabama House of Representatives. Once again, what's going on here?
Well, way back in 2022... Simpson and Duggar went head-to-head, and I had to go back and read some of those stories. That was just a little bit before my time, not very much, but I think Matt Simpson carried that primary with, I believe, 55% of the vote. So it was kind of close back then. You know, I think it would it definitely gears up to be an interesting race that I'll be watching, and I think some other folks will too. Matt, of course, has been in the House since 2018. He has put forward a number of bills. One that comes to mind, he increased the mandatory minimums for fentanyl trafficking. He has been a champion of Baldwin Prep, which is, of course, the career technical high school in Baldwin County. He's been pretty outspoken on, like, the Sanger Theater shooting. He's done a lot of stuff during his, you know, two terms of office so far. Danielle Duggar is she's from Spanish Fork. She's a mom. She is a legal analyst for the National Vaccine Information Center. She has made some postings on her campaign Facebook that kind of go into what she wants to see done if she were voted into office. But yeah, it's deja vu here, and we shall see who comes out on top in May. This is not until the summer.
All right, and let's talk about the cover story this week's Land Yap.
All righty, Grant McLaughlin. We've got some continuing coverage of Mobile Bay. We have a story here. Some folks had said that the water in the bay looks clearer lately, and so Grant McLaughlin sought to find out why. And there's a multitude of reasons why that is. They are laid out in Land Yap, but a good number of people think that the end of the dredging for the newly deepened port might have something to do with this, too.
Yeah, and of course, on social media, people have added in, and I chose not to post because most people posted, but, you know, that could be combined with the fact that water clears up here in the fall, you know, from August on through, and as it gets colder, water gets clearer. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good dive he does here into this story. So, I mean, a lot
absolutely.
To read.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely, and definitely with the ongoing concerns of the dredging and the so-called mud dumping, I think it's definitely something that needs to be studied so we can get some hard numbers here. But we shall see.
Absolutely. All right. Tell folks how to get that copy of Land Yap, the physical printed copy, and then how they get signed up and be cool like me.
The printed papers are free for everybody. They are in our beautiful purple boxes all across Mobile and Baldwin counties. But if you want to be as cool as Sean and as cool as me and as cool as a lot of other folks, head to landyapmobile.com. We have a portal where you can sign up for a subscription. If you need some help, give us a call at the office, and we'll be happy to get you started.
Good stuff, Kyle. We'll talk again next week.
All righty. See you later.
All right. There he goes. So we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 124 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by Stone Arms, my buddy Jeff Stone, U.S. Navy veteran himself, and the guy that part of our presentation of Veterans Month each year here at FM Talk 106.5. Also the home of the kiosk. Kiosk. It's kind of a fun word to say. It's like trousers or bungalow. Kiosk. But what that is, it's like it's a computer on the wall at Stone Arms that lets you get your green light from the feds to be able to get a silencer, get a suppressor, get a can. And it's something, you know, my personal experience with it is for years I was like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get the green light and set up the deal so I can start shooting suppressed. Y'all, it was even with some online stuff, it was just a pain because you could do part of it online. Part of it, you had to go get fingerprints over at the sheriff's department. Then you had to go get a passport photo. Then you had to go back and submit this stuff to ATF and submit another form. I mean, it was just, I didn't get it done. I mean, I kept like biting little pieces of it away, but never got it done. And Jeff heard me complaining about this. He said, hey, come out to the store, check this out. So when they installed this thing, it is a computer on the wall. You walk in, and directly on your right, when you walk in at Stone Arms, you'll see it. You just, it's so simple. You put your information in, and it's like a go to next, right? You put, okay, it asks you for these things, then press go to next, go to the next page, put the stuff in, go to next, then put your hands up here, get your fingerprints, boom, boom, it does that. They take the passport-like photo of you, it integrates it, it puts it all into one email that goes to the feds, and that's the nice thing. You know it's correct, you know it's right when it's sent off, because you know how Fed forms are. If this thing is not filled out in the right place, or this dash is not in the right place, they kick it back. Well, when you use this system, it gets it done correctly, sends it off. It took me only 2 weeks, something I thought that I would never get done. 2 weeks later, I got a green light and then started shooting suppressed. And by the way, too, all the gunsmithing, even if you want to take maybe your deer rifle, right, that is not threaded for a can there, they got a gunsmith that can do that. They can put the whole, modern sporting rifles, good old bolt action deer rifles, everything in between that you want to shoot suppressed, they can set you up, and they got a great selection of those suppressors as well. Check them out in person, especially use that kiosk, and get moving along. You've been saying for a long time you're going to get this done. We'll get around to it, if you know what I mean, when you go to Stone Arms. They are just west of Snow on Airport Boulevard, about a quarter mile past Snow on Airport on the south side of the road. They're online at StoneArmsInc.com. Go check them out today. All right, let me grab some text here. Michael says, I think that was one of your best Veterans Month's interviews, on par with Wayne Biggs. He's talking about Navy veteran Cody Aloy, who was on with us. It took several minutes for the hair to not be standing up on my arm when you talk. Cody told the story of he's in there working with the dog, right, trying to find IEDs. And they end up, dogs finding all these IEDs, and he trips over the pressure plate on an IED. So I guess on the underside of it, so not pushing it down. Wow. It was just chilling. Think about, the dog handlers are going in trying to find those. Remember how bad we had years. I mean, it was constant through both theaters in Iraq and Afghanistan, but some years were really, really bad. And those dogs saved a lot of American lives for sure. It was, and by the way, the Wayne Biggs interview talking about his father, his late father, that was one of the ghost soldiers that rescued all those POWs from the Japanese camp where they were about to kill them in the Philippines, is just a story you've got to hear. If you want to go back and listen to it, of course, it's on all our podcast platforms. But as I mentioned earlier, if you just want to like get them all in one place, go to fmtalk1065.com. So that's the website. When you get there, along the top, it's like with the header or whatever, the thing that's on the top there, that bar. If you look at that, you'll see different choices. The second one in from the left says Veterans Month Interviews. If you click that, they're all in one place. You can find these interviews with our great veterans all in one place. Check them out. And give them a listen right there. All right, let's see. Billy D says, hey, man, I think you nailed it. Would like to know what the salinity of the water is right now. Something tells me in a lack of rainfall that salinity is way up. So I think we got a lot of salt water being pumped in the bay right now. I think that's why you're seeing that off. Well, okay, so I think all things can be true as well. I think maybe some things are going on with the dredging or cessation of that is clearing up the bay. This time of year, for like us Delta rats, people spend time outside. This one we clear up, right? It's when the green water makes its way on up the bay and up into the Delta. It's pretty good fishing too, right? And we're always kind of waiting around. There'll be a rain. We knock on wood that we get enough rain for our yards and crops out there and garden. I don't even get into that. But we don't get too much. You know, at a certain point, December, January, we will get it in a big slugs of fresh water will come down and muddy it up. But this is kind of that. So both things could be happening. That could be happening. And the colder water gets, the less particulates it holds, right? It drops out and gets clearer. So both things could be true. Interesting read over at Landyap. It's a cover story this week. So Y'all can check it out there. All right, we continue with our Veterans Month interviews. And, you know, this works for me because I get to do the interview and talk to a friend. Major General Janet Cobb joins us coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along. You can always leave us a text or make a phone call. Leave us a text, make a text and leave us a phone call, whichever one you want to do. 343, I know this part. It's 251-343-0106 to get in touch with us. 251-343-0106. Also continue with Veterans Month all the month long here at FM Talk 106.5. And I feel like I'm cheating on this one because it's a veteran I want y'all to know. You probably do know her name. I also get to hang out with a friend when we do this. Major General Janet Cobb joining us for a conversation about, first of all, what you're doing now. Because if y'all remember, I'll be executive director of Battleship Memorial Park, kept her kind of busy, now retired. So you're just hanging around playing Sudoku or whatever?
Well, I'm not smart enough to do Sudoku. But I do. There are a couple other little games I play. But I'll tell you, I love retirement. I retired 31 December.
Okay.
Walked off the gangway for the last time. I was over there meeting with our great new executive director a while ago, Commander Mark Fields.
Yeah, he's
U.S.
great.
Navy retired, great guy, doing a wonderful job, seeing some of the staff, talking to some folks over there. And I love it. You know, as people tell you, I'm busier now, but what it is, I can't say it's, oh, I'm doing tons of volunteer work and things that I hope to do eventually. You know, we all say that and mean it. But right now, Sean, it's all the years of all the crap that you stick in your closet.
Uh-huh.
The years of
oh,
all
is
the
this
stuff
when you address
that you,
it?
Yeah,
okay.
that you throw in a box. And uh-huh. I'll get back to that later, like the year all of your financials. Now, the young people don't know what this is mm-mm. like. Keep all your receipts of everything, your bills.
The banker's box is full of stuff.
Of stuff. And I'm going through that, you know, and trying to get rid of all that, shred it. It's time consuming. But, you know, you get to see people you know, you get to have lunch with your friends, you get to I'm not a traveler, you know, I just traveled so much with the military and grew up in a military family, but it's great. You know, God gives you 24 hours in every day, just try to make the best of it. So I've had a great life, but I highly recommend retirement.
Okay, well, hopefully one day I'll make it to that point.
You will.
Talk about your service beforehand, too, and you know, everybody who comes in here, we've talked about the enlistment story. So we've told this before, but I love this. You getting in, you're in high school, I think.
I was. And I'm going to, in a minute, I'm going to follow up on your discussion with Cody and go back, because you always finish every speech with a dog story.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of things to talk about the military working dogs
okay,
in my
very
experience.
Good.
But Day Fulbright was the first, she was our high school government teacher at Foley High School. She was the first woman to be promoted to the rank of colonel in the Army Reserve. She had married an Army Air Corps officer during World War II. And she served in the reserve later, and he retired from the Air Force. So she taught us. And then Tommy Rhodes, who's retired agricultural teacher from Foley High School, had just come back from Germany where he'd been an armor officer. And they were recruiting young women for the Army Reserve at that time. And we had a local unit. No longer. It's been inactivated many years ago, 42nd Replacement Detachment. There were people from Mobile that served as officers in there, the late Fred Crown, Marion Kina Jr., Probate Judge Tim Russell from Foley mm-hmm. served in that unit. A lot of people were in that small. It was an adjutant general detachment. And they recruited us. So there were four girls from a high school. One had graduated 2 years earlier and recruited us. And in May of 5th of May of 1974, back in the last quarter of the last century, mm-hmm. we raised our hand and we enlisted. And I went to Fort McClellan. I was one of the among the group, some of the last of the Women's Army Corps members, because we enlisted as WACS, because women worked in almost all the branches, of course, not in the combat arms
right.
then, but we were WACS. And then I went to Alabama.
You were ROTC
after my first year.
Roll Tide Roll.
And I went through ROTC and was commissioned in 78. And in that year, the Army dissolved the Women's Army Corps. And women were actually integrated into all the branches of the Army at that time. So
you were the vanguard of that.
Come in with your
second lieutenant, come in and you go. I mean, you come in as a you know, we get out of ROTC, you roll in, you've got some rank now. You walk in.
Yeah. But I knew more when I was a private. And I was a lot smarter than I was when I was a private. So I try to think about that. I wanted to be a buck sergeant. I wanted to be an E5. And I came back and told my dad. And
how'd that go?
Well, he was a retired E7 in the Coast Guard and a World War II sailor. And I said, Daddy, I can't get in the NCO Academy because a lot of the guys had come back from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And they had time remaining on their own enlistment and to further their own rank structure and career. They were going to school, and he said, well, if you can't be a command sergeant major, I guess you'll have to be an officer. And he spit it out, because Lonnie Allen Cobb hated officers and had been busted. He made E8 at one time, but I think he'd been busted back, and Daddy's long gone, so he's not. I guess he's hearing this. But anyway, so at Alabama, he's May of 78, pinning those second lieutenant bars on. Mm-hmm. You know, big guy, master carpenter, big old guy, you know, and he's pinning my bars on, tears just running down his face.
I bet.
And I said, Daddy, I said, why are you crying? I said, shame, because I'm not going to be an E9 in the Army? Or are you mad because I'm going to be an officer? And he said, I don't know, damn it. I don't know. So, you know,
well, you listen,
that's my enlistment story.
We're not good with our words sometimes.
That's right. That's right.
So, and this goes through, and you come out, this is the 70s, but your service to our country, different, it goes the whole way through. I mean, you're in Kuwait. I mean, you make it the whole way at the heels of the Vietnam War. And then there you are, you know, in the first Gulf War.
Well, yes. And that was after the combat operations were over. Our unit that I later took as the battalion commander was at that time in 1991, an 06, a colonel level command, and we worked ports, and we were mobilized after the combat operations to go to Saudi Arabia. We worked at the ports of Al Jubail and Abd Dammam, and we were the last Army Reserve unit to come home in November of 1991. I was on the advance party. We were coming in uniform through the airport in Philadelphia. There were five or six of us, and people were going, welcome home.
And you're like,
well, it's great. And we were like, no, we're on our way. We missed all that part. We've got to go. And we did the ammunition retrograde. We loaded every conceivable type of ship in those couple of months that we were over there, four or five, I guess. And it was quite an adventure. We'd missed the combat operations, and it was a great experience. And that unit later became a lieutenant colonel level command. During the 1990s, we trained and trained and trained because we were ship loaders and ship dischargers. And then the unit was actually, after 9/11, we thought we would be mobilized right away, but it was the next year. We went over to the port of Ashwaubenon, Kuwait, November of 02, and we opened the port and began to bring in all the ships came in with all the big, heavy equipment. You know, most of that stuff can't fly.
Right.
And that's where I'm going to finish with some dog stories here and wrap up at Battleship Park. But I met my first military working dog, and I remember his name. I have a photograph with him. His name is Damien.
Okay.
We had six of the big, large LMSRs, a large medium-speed roll-on, roll-off ships, and all the big stuff, you know, the 101st, you know, 5th Corps, 3rd Corps, all the big stuff.
You got some
over,
metal coming in. Yeah,
big, heavy stuff. And so we were busy doing 24-hour operations over there. And the Navy had Navy divers in the water, you know, around the ships, checking. The Coast Guard had raid teams on our ramps. That's a real high specialized unit.
Raid team, explain that to me. Like,
They were just a small, like a combat arms team that the Coast Guard was using at that time. I don't know if they still use them, but, you know, the guys guarding our ramps were Coast Guard raid team members at that time.
So you got Navy divers underneath,
Coast
checking
Guard
the hole for explosives being put in. You got Coast Guard on the ramp there.
And then the Navy was sweeping the pier with military working dogs, and that's what Damien did. He was an explosive detection dog, and good dog, and that was my first experience with that. I came back, and I was working at Kaiser Realty in Gulf Shores, and during this time in 2008, the Alabama War Dog Memorial Foundation in Birmingham raised $58,000 to build the Alabama War Dog Memorial at Battleship Memorial Park. And when you come around and you pass the the aircraft on the left, and you pass the Korean War Memorial. The next one there is a $58,000 four-ton granite slab with some Italian bronze work on the top. It's a combat patrol being led by a dog, by a soldier with a dog behind him, platoon members behind him. And that was dedicated in 2008. And that was dedicated to all of the military working dogs. And on the back, there's a black marble slab. There are names of dog handlers from Alabama and the dogs.
Really?
I've
never looked at it.
Yeah, you need to see it. And behind that, and I'll talk about what's behind it in a minute, but down there, there are dog paws in the bronze down there in the cement. And some boots. And there's a guy from Mobile named Lloyd Pursley. His name is on there. His working dog was Draco. And Lloyd told people, and he tells this story a lot, over 4,000 working dogs were left in Vietnam. I met a lady years ago that had 4, been married 000. To a guy that worked with a military dog in Vietnam and said he would cry for that dog at night. He would have nightmares because it was one of the 4,000-plus dogs. They didn't bring him home. They just left them. They wow. left in country.
I've never heard this story told that yeah. we left. I mean, I think about all the things,
yeah.
you know.
And so the dogs, terrible. You know, they were there. But the handlers, I mean, they're attached to those dogs.
100%.
Yeah. So.
You get attached, like regular civilians get attached sure, to dogs because sure. they're your buddy.
Sure.
But one that keeps you yeah. alive as well.
And we see this on the evening news all the time where handlers are being reunited with those animals. And that is a very popular memorial there. And then when I went to my next deployment, I went to Central Command Distribution and Deployment Operations Center. I commanded that for 6 months in Kuwait in 2011. And when I came back, I outprocessed at Fort Benning. And there they have the Fort Benning War Dog Memorial. And there's a memorial. But all around the memorial, I walked over from my quarters, are all of these regimental and company and detachment and platoon memorials to dogs that they work with, they adopted. I think there's one, if my mind's eye is right, there's one with a dachshund that is there. It was just amazing at these units that it may have been a dog they picked up in country somewhere. It may right. not have been a working dog, but they memorialized these dogs. I came to work at Battleship Park, and I met Lloyd Pursley because in 2017, of course, Draco was long gone, and Lloyd Pursley living here in Mobile, and he adopted a combat working dog, an explosive detection dog named Hank, in 2017.
Pretty strong dog name. I like that one.
Oh, yeah.
I
so like they brought him, and we had the Patriot Guard came, and we had a big basket of toys and treats, and we welcomed Hank to Battleship Memorial Park, and we brought him to Lloyd
toys
brought
and
him
treats,
out there.
All right.
He's out there looking up at the War Dog Memorial.
Oh wow!
And so we welcomed Hank. That was in 2017, and unfortunately, in March of the next year, I don't know if it was service connected or not, but Hank contracted cancer and died. The next month, in April of 2018, the Battleship Commission voted to bury Hank just behind the War Dog Memorial. He will be
really?
The only dog, the only animal to be buried at Battleship Memorial Park. To
shame on me for never having looked at that. All the stuff I've looked at and never gone.
Well, it's a flat memorial, and he's buried behind there, and he represents all military working dogs, past, present, and future, because they've been used in every war, in some manner.
Yeah, I mean, Cody was saying what he thought, but I mean, it started well before that.
Oh,
it
yeah.
started before, you know, we had the United States of America.
Oh, absolutely. They've always been used and involved in some way. And so in May of 2018, and I invite you to go probably on the internet somewhere. I've got some great photographs of it. We had a burial ceremony. The Patriot Guard came back, and they lined the route, and I was up there with some of the folks. There's a table. I'm going to show you some pictures after this with okay. his toys and different things like that. Lloyd came up with the chaplain of the Patriot Guard, and they came up through the gauntlet, through the flags. And there were military working dogs in the line. There were pets in the line. There were people who brought dogs in strollers, and they all lined up in a guard of honor. There were
That's
police
awesome.
Dogs and law enforcement there with their dogs. And they brought Hank up there.
Wow.
And I hope I don't start crying because it was a very emotional day. So we spoke about Hank, and then after the crowd left, one of the workers from the funeral home in Fairhope that donated the marble and the thing,
the slab, yeah.
We put his toys in there and put his little little urn, his little wooden urn in there. And, of course, we were all just torn up. And if you go there now, Hank's plaque is back there. There's a memorial bench that one of our employees keeps up every year, refinishes it with a memorial plank. So you can sit back there, and Hank is buried there. And, I mean,
I never knew that.
Yeah, it
General,
was an emotional day.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
So, you know, in addition to everything at the park honoring our fighting humans, we are also honoring the canines.
That's right. And that's thanks to the Alabama, John O'Malley was the head of that, Alabama War Dog Memorial Foundation, that did the fundraising for that. And, you know, once the commission accepts a monument, then we are responsible to take care of it. So we're very proud of it.
Well, I'm just blown away. The story, things I never knew. I find out all kind of stuff from my friend and a veteran, Major General Janet Cobb. Thank you for your service. Thanks for the story today, too.
Hey, good to see you, brother.
I got a new place to stop. I'm back to the battleship next month. I'll make a stop right there.
There you go. Go see Hank.
Go
sit at the bench and see Hank.
Excellent. Wow. Wow, wow. All right, coming right back to wrap it up on this Thursday.
George's pies, cakes, nuts, cheese straws, and chocolates are holiday favorites. Shop three ways: the grocer, online at threegeorges.com, or in store downtown. Three Georges will ship to your family, friends, and colleagues. Three Georges, a Mobile tradition.
For WKRG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh. A local elementary school teacher fired and arrested on a child abuse charge is out of jail. Nicole Staples posted bond last night. She is charged with willful abuse of a child under 18 after a video surfaced on social media appearing to show her hitting a child with a belt more than 20 times. Staples was a second grade teacher at Cottage Hill Christian Academy. The incident happened off campus at her home, but the school says the nature of the accusations called for immediate action. We're getting an update on the McGregor Avenue roundabout project. The intersection of Dauphin Street and McGregor should be open by the end of next month. The asphalt has been laid as well as the curbing. There is still striping and some brickwork to finish up. The brick decorative pavilion in the middle of the roundabout is also not finished yet. Power will be out on Dauphin Island until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Alabama Power is upgrading the system and repairing transmission lines. They turned off the power at 8 o'clock this morning. Devin Walsh, WKRG News 5.
If you've been thinking about selling your higher-end used boat, think about letting Blue Water Yacht Sales make that easy for you and do the sale. You can often get as much for your boat as if you were selling it yourself, so why take all the calls and spend your free time showing the boat to prospects when Blue Water can handle that for you and still get you the best price? Learn more about their brokerage services today by calling 476-2699. Blue Water Yacht Sales Brokerage and certified Yamaha and Mercury service dealer with a Yamaha Master Tech on staff. Sales and service in both locations, Mobile and Orange Beach.
Dan Brennan here, inviting you to join the community at Legacy Oaks at Spring Hill. You'll find everything you need to live the convenient and carefree lifestyle you deserve. If you're looking for your next home in Mobile, hey, I found it at Legacy Oaks. It's a charming community of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments located in the heart of the city just off Dauphin and I-65. Inside the spacious floor plans, you'll discover cozy interiors complete with gas range, a gas fireplace, and each unit comes with an attached garage. Outside your apartment, you'll love the amenities like pool and a clubhouse that includes a conference room and workout center. These provide the perfect opportunity to relax and enjoy the company of neighbors. As a resident of Legacy Oaks at Spring Hill, you'll also enjoy easy access to the area's most popular shopping, dining, and entertainment destinations, and still minutes from downtown. Reach out today for more information. Call 251-344-8099 and find out more at legacyoaksatspringhill.com.
Rhett Marcus is a proven Trump Republican, a conservative fighter who will help President Trump finish the job. In Congress, Rhett will stand with Trump to defend our guns, our God, and our freedoms. We don't need weak career politicians. We need warriors who will end the woke agenda. Rhett Marcus, Alabama first, America always. Alabama Christian Conservatives is responsible for the content of this advertising. Political ad paid for by Alabama Christian Conservatives. AlabamaChristians.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Alta Point Health supports Moments in Time with local veterans on FM Talk 106.5 with Sean Sullivan. Alta Point is proud to work with Alabama's veterans and thanks them and their families for their sacrifices and service. Because of them, we are free today.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 154, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Blaine, we talk about people getting new and used equipment from y'all, but what about getting work done on the equipment that we got from y'all? Or I got a tractor need service or a skid steer. How do we set that up?
Well, you can call Sean. We can get that set up. You can bring it in. We can come get it, or we can send a field tech to you and service it or whatever needs to be done to it. But right now, we're starting our winter service specials for this time of the year. That's on tractors, side-by-sides, any size or model Kubota Zero Turn. We got these winter service specials that we're doing. So come by, check us out. Give us a call. We'll be happy to get you on the schedule to get your service.
Yeah, it'd be a nice feeling to get the zero turn, get your, now that finally kind of the grass isn't growing anymore, get that service work done, knowing that when you finally got to get back on that thing in the spring, it's ready to go. You don't have to stop and do service. It's already done.
Yes. So something else on the winter service specials, like I said, is for tractors, mowers, side-by-sides, skid steers, mini excavators. Something included in that is free pickup delivery within 30 miles of the store. So
I like
keep
it.
That in mind. If it's something, you know, it's a hassle to hook a trailer up and bring it to us. That is included right now this time of the year on the winter service specials.
Okay. That's got my attention. That fits me perfectly. So tell folks how to reach out to you and get that set up.
Well, right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59, you can come by and see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Or you can give us a call at 251-947-4171 and visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Hey, thanks, Blaine, and get ready. I'll be calling y'all in about, show's over in 6 minutes. I'll call you then.
Sounds good. Thank you, John.
All right, there he goes, Blaine at Parrish Tractor. Let me see if I can get a couple these texts here before I finish. Hey, Curtis had said all these years, back to the discussion we had with Cody Aloy, U.S. Navy veteran, too, said all these years of mom telling me to pick up my feet and not drag them, she was wrong. By the way, Curtis, my mom told me the same thing. I think still would. Don't scuff your shoes. But it saved his life, didn't it? A pretty amazing thing. So all the interviews are, they do, somebody's asking, are they just on the, no, they're not just on the website. You can, the easiest place to get our Veterans Month interviews, because they're all like together in one place, is to go to fmtalk1065.com and click the tab up top that says Veterans Month Interviews. But they also are like, you get, you know, the fastest place. The first place are, and I wish I could tell you I had some grand plan that made this happen. It's just the way stuff does. First place are podcast posts after the shows. They show up first on the app. So they're on the FM Talk 106.5 app. A little bit after that, they'll make it to the website. And then they make it to all the other podcast platforms out there. So even if you're on another platform, make sure you subscribe for our podcast and get them there. But if you want them, but they're like, you know, chronological. If you want to say, hey, I want to check out Veterans Month interviews, they're all together at fmtalk1065.com. Once again, just click the tab that says Veterans Month Interviews. All right, so there you go. All right, we'll do it all again tomorrow for another edition of Midday Mobile. Coming up tomorrow, a couple things I'm working on. All right, so things I'm working on here in the mix. And I've, let's see if I can I confirm that one or get myself a drink. I'll tell you what, I've got another friend who is a Army veteran is going to join me tomorrow. I feel like I'm cheating when I do this because I do the interview and I get to hang out with a friend. My buddy Keith is going to join us tomorrow. Also, yeah, I better not say it. Possible local breaking news story coming up on tomorrow's show in the noon hour. But ink's not dry, so I'll just say, hey, Paul Feinbaum's on the way next, and I will see y'all tomorrow.